Welcome back to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Here is where the guys discuss, debate, and consider all aspects of living like a true gentleman. Rich and Anton will consider entrepreneurship, success, fashion and styling, family life, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our latest saunter into the life of a gentleman. Guys, take it away.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. And today we are joined by old friends and even older friends. And we're glad to have people back on the show. As you can see, Anton and myself, we're back in the swing of things with the show, joined by our special guest and good friend of mine, Eduardo Xavier. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rich, it's good to connect. It's been a while. I don't know, maybe 2 years or more. COVID hit us, but we are here stronger than ever. There you go. It's good to see you. You're looking in good health. And look at that smile. It's good to see you guys. Definitely.
Good to see you as well, Eduardo, man. We had some fun back in the day. For those that are new listeners, Eduardo used to come on quite a bit, and we'd chop it up and talk about all things sartorial. And today we're going to do just that. But before we get into our subject for today, Eduardo, let's just take us on a little journey. This is going to set us up to what we're going to talk about. How did you get involved in the custom clothing business? There's a lot of people want to get involved. Let's hear your story.
Hey, Mike.
Just, you know, give us the quick.
Yeah, my story goes back in 2007. But it has a longer story related to family. Because my mom was a dressmaker. But I didn't start because of that. I started because I saw that a need for men to dress better when I had something that I thought to me was natural. So this is why I came into play as a, first of all, image consultant, helping people as well to shop, you know, personal shopping image consultant. And then I realized that the suit industry was not updated at all. And that's where I got into custom clothing. And I'm just saying that 2007 up to now, it's been 15 years, 16 years going to be this year. So it's a lot of things happened. I was living in Australia, Melbourne, beautiful city, beautiful country. I live in six different countries, and I believe Melbourne was one of my favorite cities. The country itself is great, great to visit, great to live. So I did start that, and my journey there has a lot to do first with image consulting, then fashion designing, and then I found my sort of my passion in the tailoring industry. And it's funny enough, my dad, my grandpa, and many other European descendants that I'm came from, always dressing suits and so on and so on. And I was not one of those, but I adapt my style. And today it's kind of like I can't live without it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing your story. And no. Anton, you as well, man. Let's let people, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit, Anton. Let's know. How did you get involved in this? Because that's everybody wants to get involved in custom clothing these days. But Eduardo, 16 years, man, hats off to you. But Anton, how did you get involved?
I think similar to Eduardo, my mother also sewed. I wouldn't call her a dressmaker, but she also sewed. And, you know, coming up, I always loved the way my father dressed. Yeah. Like, you know, and I can't say I emulate his style completely, but my father was always known to be a well-dressed, a blue-collar, you know, guy. But when he had to get dressed for religious functions or for weddings or going out, he always looked good. And that was one of the things he was known for. And I think as boys kind of grow up, of course, we always emulate our fathers, you know, especially if it's a good example. Yeah. And I kind of started to dress. And as I got older and once I started making my own money, you know, and going back to my father took me to the place that he would get his suits from. Because at this point, you know, he was buying off the rack. But we went to his place and I got my first like man's suit, you know, because before then I was shopping at the boys' place and I got big enough and my father said, I'm going to take you to get, you know, your first suit. And I think that's kind of like where my love for it kind of grew. And then, you know, the process of getting the suit and then going to get it tailored and altered. And it to tell you the truth, I still have that suit.
Yeah, amazing.
I still have that suit. One of these days I'll bring it out. I'll take a picture. Huh?
Can you still fit it?
Well, maybe the jacket. Maybe the jacket. Yeah, maybe the jacket, you know. But that was basically the start, you know, of my love for it. And then later on, I as you know, Rich, I was a rep for another company that is now defunct from a famous actor. And it just, I think it was a little too soon. The model was there, but, you know, it was just certain things that just didn't make it work. It just wasn't a good fit. And then, of course, you know, you and I kind of hooked up shortly after that. And it's been, you know, it's just been memories after that. So, but yep. I've always had an appreciation, you know, for suiting, that gentleman's lifestyle, that, you know, looking good and commanding a room, you know. So I think that's what it, not in arrogance, just, you know, just looking good and fitting into a room, no matter what room you're in. And that's just kind of, that's been my thing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Good story. Good story. The reason I ask, guys, is because, Eduardo, this may be your experience as well. Anton, you can chime in too, please. A lot of people really, they get into my DM or I get emails probably weekly of people, they want to be in this industry and they come in and they ask a lot of questions right off the bat and they want you to give them all the resources, all of the knowledge, all of the connections. And what I'm trying to show people is that there's a different way that you're kind of drawn into this industry. I think everybody I've talked to that's had any deal of success with it, it's kind of a slow, gradual process towards getting into it. You don't just dive in and somebody gives you all the trade secrets and you're off and running. Eduardo, have you seen that, or what's been your experience with the process of kind of really getting into this industry?
I kind of didn't hear you cut out for a second. I'm sorry, Rich.
Yeah, no worries. What I was saying is, has there been experiences where people kind of want all the information dumped on them, or have you seen that people who have had success with it kind of slowly and gradually get into the industry?
Yeah, I think there's two type of people out there that want love this industry and want to get into the industry. There's the ones that are just the followers and they think that it's possible for them to just get into it because there's a lot of us out there. But then there's the others out there that I'll say there are three type of people. But let's say the second one is the one that really loves the idea of having a business in the tailoring industry. And that it will do anything for it, you know. He might buy a course, might buy many books, you might start to learn, you might, you know. And then there's the other guy that, you know, has a sense of fashion and he found a way of dressing well through tailoring. And for those guys, I think things comes a little bit natural. And it's easy for those guys to receive it and to find it and actually as well find their way into the industry itself. So I think there's a lot of things happening these days. We see a lot of custom clothes popping up, blooming like flowers. But I do believe that the ones who really survive, or they're really the ones that really strive something, that have a following, are the ones that are very dedicated, or have already had a passion or a background in the tailoring or suiting circumstances, like we share ourselves, from family members, from the lifestyle, and so on. And I think that's, those are, to me, those are the guys that really are doing something for the industry. They're really revolutionizing the industry as well, not following, they create their own thing. And as well, they are open-minded to others, what the others are doing.
I think that's a huge thing, just understanding the type of people that are approaching the industry. You know, like, I think, and I guess you can probably attest to this, Eduardo, that some people just see this as a cash cow or a money grab. And it really is a ton of work. Mm. It takes a lot of work, and it can be super stressful, right? Yeah. It can be super stressful because what you're trying to do is fulfill someone's expectation of a look that they have, regardless of their body type, regardless of situations, something that maybe you wouldn't have chosen as a combination, right? But you have to try to make that thing work. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is what you go through on the back end to try to make this thing meet their expectations. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, it's true, because, you know, and throughout the years that I've been in this industry, we learned so many things, and it's not about only learning things for us. We learn things about people. People are moving pieces. We are in the 21st century. I grew up in the 20th century. And tailoring exists in the 19th century and 18th century. Bringing all these centuries into place, it takes a lot of effort to understand mentalities, styles, and not all of that. Making sure that we really provide a service, not a product. Because it's easy to sell and tick boxes. And we are not that kind of people. And we are not here for that. And we don't want to be really mashed up in the bowl of those kind of people, because we're not that. We are here to bring something else, to teach, educate, and make people happy, but through clothing. And this is the thing that I really think that we are doing a lot for the industry. And again, the subject that we are talking today, it's so important to touch base about custom clothing itself. Because I don't see that there's a competition between you guys and myself or my neighbor, custom clothing. Because we all bring something to the industry, and we wish to have more competitors. Because if we have more competitors, we have more dressers, more people to dress, more people to educate, and more people educated already.
Right.
Exactly. That's a very good point. One of the points I want to highlight, it's a service industry first, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get that. It's not a product. It's a service that you're providing.
That's right.
Especially making sure that, like Anton said, everybody's happy. Now, once we get into this industry, I like the point you brought up, and this is kind of the theme of our discussion. I look at it like other industries, let's say professional athletes. They're a fraternity of brothers. It's a small group of people that have been part of, let's say, the NBA, the NFL, other small industries. They support each other. They rally behind each other. With the custom clothing industry, sometimes there is a sense of operating in silos. I stay here, you stay there. But I like what you just said. Why not celebrate the diversity that there is? Because everybody does something a little bit different. The way I connect with a customer may be different from how Anton deals with somebody or how you are dealing with your customers. But what you said is powerful. We want more people in the industry because that's more people dressing well. But Eduardo, let me present to you this. Let me just ask you this. Why do you think sometimes there is people operating in silos, or they don't want to share any information, or they just don't want to support and maybe come together and form mastermind groups on marketing or different things like that?
It goes back to the self-confidence, and it goes back to what we started the subject today. It goes back to the people that really know what they're doing, that really are familiar and want to grow. Those ones don't feel that someone is trying to catch them or to grab them, their knowledge. Because knowledge, it's so diverse, and knowledge is so an interesting subject. And the tailoring knowledge, it goes back centuries. And don't tell me, even though we are based ourselves in a lot of 100 years of tailoring, we base ourselves off the tradition of tailoring, but through all that, there's many techniques in the tailoring industry that we are using these days. And not only that, we in the 21st century or in the 20th century, we revolutionized the entire tailoring industry as you are using the custom, the MTM, made to measure, or bespoke, or even that everything has been changed. So what I'm trying to say is like, people that feel that they have competition, they don't believe in themselves. They don't know nothing about the industry. They think what they know, it's gold. But gold can be found in many different ways. And there's always, it's going to be always gold. I think that if you or them or the other guy on the corner don't believe in themselves, I want him to think about one particular street in London, Savile Row. What those tailors do? They support each other. Where you are, Savile Row. What they do, even the price and what they talk about tailoring, the tailoring industry. They believe that that is a particular process to go through. They don't care if someone is doing different than them. They just believe in something and they believe in themselves. And that's what's missing a lot of people that don't really share or don't are afraid of other people taking that information. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, I like to piggyback that thought more than I have a question. Like what you were saying, I think that a lot of times, and it doesn't really matter what the business is, right? Some people move from a position of fear almost,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I give you too much, right, then what do I have, right? I think they call it, the term they call them now are gatekeepers, uh-huh, right? Uh-huh. So I'm going to keep you just at arm's length. Keep, you know, because it's a fear position that if I tell you too much, then I make myself obsolete. But what history has told us is that the more that we share, the more that we collaborate, the more that we can bounce things off of each other, right? The better we can become as a collective. And there's always room, right? Like how many people can we honestly serve as small boutique purveyors of clothing, right? How many can we take? Thousands and thousands? Probably not comfortably. But if there's other people who can service them, then now it makes the industry stronger. I would love to have a backlog of customers, right? But it doesn't serve us well, because then what happens? Then we can't do what we want to do as boutique clothiers and really give that service, just like you were talking about, Rich.
Yeah, 100%. Eduardo, go ahead, jump in.
No, I sort of, it's a double take here. You know, it's a lot for people to understand exactly the purpose of the service. And when we understand the purpose of the service, we go back into, there's no competition. We are here to provide a service. And there's a billion people out there. And there's so much more that we can provide than actually looking what the neighbors is doing. And I do think, and I have a particular subject that I can touch base. And today I was awarded, and I've been here for 2 years only, and I have a new business that I actually separated from a particular other business. And I started this new business in 2021, but let's say 2022 was really the start of the year. I started a new business, a new shop, but basically it's my business, but I start from scratch in a new location. But I was attached to another business that I use all my manufacturer, all my providers, all my suppliers, everything. And they keep going, and I was building my business on the side. And these days, we can call each other competitors. I don't call myself, but I know that they might see me as a competitor because I'm the one that jumped out and I'm the one that came right in. So I'm the one that actually I'm competing because I created something new here in Portugal that I never had the business of tailoring in Portugal myself, like running a business. And today I was awarded the best custom tailor in the year of 2022 when I start my business. And I look now and say, look, I'm not competitive with you guys. I'm competitive with myself. I want to do the best I can all the time. If you believe I'm competitive, you don't believe in yourself. And the joy of doing this is that you don't see competitors at all. You know your value, you know what you can provide, and there's always clients for everyone. And I think that this is the lesson that we take out of it. And this is, we talk about tailoring, but in any subject, I know people with different yes. industries, it's the same thing. Yes. If they look at themselves, oh, I have this competitor, my product's not gonna be sold, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good point. It's and congratulations on the award too. I know that move over to Portugal, that was a big move. That's home for you. So
I'm gonna be honest with you. And again, if I can mention, it is tough for custom tailors to start from scratch because we live out of feedback. We live out of. Yeah.
Referrals and things, yes.
Reviews, referrals and yes. all that. So, and yes. me moving, you know, I had a ton of business in the U.S. I chose to return home. I chose to buy a house. I chose to do a lot of things. But start a business, as I said, it's not the same as start a relationship with one person. Start a business, you need your network because it's going to be your network. So you have to believe yep. in yourself that there's no competitors again.
Yeah, I think if people adopted, like you think of people like Tesla, right? Because we can bring this to any kind of business.
Yep.
Tesla jumped out as a car company. They kind of cornered the market to begin yeah. with. Now we have more and more vehicle companies coming up day after day. And if they took that idea of like, well, Tesla's doing it, so we can't compete with them. No. You have a different angle that you approach. You have a different type of car. You have a different body style that's going to appeal to another person. Maybe a different price point. Whatever it may be, I like the color schemes that you come up with. Yeah. So it's like, if that was the case, we wouldn't have to have, at least in the States, antitrust laws, right? Because one company could become the biggest company in the world and just corner the market. No, we have antitrust laws. Just because of that, because this country and most countries, they want to have competition, but in a good way, whereas the marketplace is saturated with options. And I think that's what we should look at it as, you know, boutique tailors, is that we are one of the options of many others.
It's funny that I can just give you something that it really makes you think. Let's go back to the 80s. There was no internet. Yep. Network.
No.
Network. What we do today was a bunch of guys that believe and never saw a competition from others. They shove every information into the web, and today what do? Why are we here? Because people believe that everyone could share something and bring something to the table. And that's why today we have a network called internet.
Yeah, and furthering that thought, social media, right?
Yeah.
And that's how me and you connected. That's how we met.
Yeah.
You know, some years, you know, just celebrating one another, seeing, hey, we're in the same industry. I like what you're doing. I admire what you're doing, the way you're doing it. And you've been kind of one of the pioneers in the digital age doing it. But I would love to see other guys supporting each other, you know, getting on, leaving comments, just giving encouraging thoughts. And maybe even, it's an idea I've had for a while, having some sort of trade group where we get together, maybe even quarterly, and just talk about what it's like being in the industry. Just not a support group, but it could be a support group in a way. That I think that would be good to celebrate each other.
Yeah. Look, I'm gonna share something that we used to do prior to COVID. And was related to, we used to have a gentleman's group that used to have a dinner every 3 months. And probably 50% of those guys were tailors or custom clothiers. And they used to bring their clients. And I used to bring my clients. I used to bring my friends that are getting into the industry. And we used to have this amazing dinner and we talk about the industry. We share out what we are doing and where the industry goes, what the fabrics that are for the year that we are on, and so on, so on. So I think this sort of opportunity, and again, if you go back to the idea of Masons, it's similar thing, and to a cause, so we can all grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think once you can disarm people and you can kind of understand this, I'm not here to poach. You know, I'm here as to support. And as much as we feel that we know, if we're humble enough, we can always learn something. Like I always say to people, you know, I want to try to learn something every day, even if it's small. Like I love when I can just learn something and get a better understanding of something.
Yeah.
Because it makes me a more well-rounded individual.
That's true. That's so true.
Very good. Very good point. And I think what we're doing right here, it's a step in the right direction, right?
It is.
The podcast, having guys on, especially good friends like Eduardo, friends of the show. And this won't be the last time, Eduardo. We'd love to have you come back on and discuss things like we did in the past. I mean, everybody seems to love these collaborations. These are some of the most favorited shows that we've had. So I want to extend that welcome to you to come back anytime. Just reach out to Anton or myself and we'll make it happen for sure. But before we kind of close out, Eduardo, do me this favor. Let people know about the new venture, how they can get in touch with you. And I also saw that you're doing tours of Portugal. Is that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm explaining it.
Yeah. Let me talk a little bit more about that.
As we close out.
Yeah. Yeah, not a problem. Let me talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to go a little bit about my life in a 360 turn. So raised in Portugal, and I know I grew up over here. You know, I love the history of the country. I love the cuisine. I've been always involved in many different events. I was president of my school for many years. So I was always a social guy with a great network. Okay, as I told you, I've been in the industry for 15 years. I live in Australia, I live in Mexico, New Zealand, USA for 6 years. And I chose to return back home with the knowledge of great people like the Americans, Australians, New Zealanders, Mexico, Spanish people. And I think that I could bring something special to my country from all this travel. And saying this, you know, with my network and all these people, I created a business called Bespoke Lifestyle Consulting by Eduardo Xavier, which involves tailoring, involves traveling through the country of Portugal and so on. As you know, we in Europe, easy to travel around Europe. But let's focus in Portugal. I have a beautiful house, a beautiful villa that I can receive my guests, my old clients from the country that I live. And I take them to the great cities with a lot of histories. I do sightseeing. I show them around as my backyard. Portugal as my backyard. So I think the business is really related to what I wanted to be my life. And so I'm consulting about the lifestyle of a gentleman. Of course, tailoring is something that I believe. You know, a good drink, a good meal, and something to enjoy. So architecture, history, and so on. I'm very passionate about all of that. So the business is basically around that. You guys can get in touch on my Instagram. You can check it out, all these stories, all the things that I'm doing, Eduardo Xavier _ the European. I have to take the moment and to introduce it to you guys that I'm actually opening a partnership in Miami starting from tomorrow, 25th, January the 25th. So from tomorrow, Miami has a location for European custom tailor, where we can receive old clients, new clients, and anyone that are interested to have European products. Everything comes out of here from Spain, Portugal, or Italy. And I think all of that is connected once again to the lifestyle of a gentleman. And that's why I'm here in this podcast.
And we're happy to have you, man. Congratulations on that venture. Yeah, really, no, really appreciate that. That's
beautiful,
awesome.
Beautiful venture. No, we wish you. So, Rich, now we have our connect in Portugal. We're going to have to, listen, hey. We got to get out. We got Eduardo, you're going to see us. I think you're going to see us before the year is out.
As you guys might hear that in Spanish, casa es tu casa. So
I know that one. I know that one.
My home is your home. So anytime you want, I'll be here to receive you guys with open arms and all of that. Portugal is my backyard.
I let you go, Eduardo, you got to listen. Let us know about your look today. All right. I love it. I love the off suited color. I love this. Just give us your look, you know, for our listeners and our watchers, because this guy has impeccable style. Like, I think I'm good, but I can learn a whole lot from Eduardo. Oh, believe me.
I appreciate
it. He put it together.
I appreciate you very much. Look, my look, as I mentioned many, many times, history is one of my main subjects. So I base myself in 100 years of tailoring. So I do a mashed up, a mix of a lot of things. But my biggest reasons to dress are the late 1920s, early 1930s, and the 1950s. So everything that I do is based on that. Today I have a very wide lapel that was very 1950s, but the peak lapel came in the early 1930s, 1920s, but wide with the curve, very 1950s. A lot of Tom Ford influence. This double-breasted waistcoat offsetting is very 1920s. So I think, as I said, I love that time where gentlemen really paid attention to what they were wearing. And then I went a little bit about the trend. The trend this year is back with pinstripes, 80s Wall Street feel. And that's what you see today.
I love
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely outstanding.
Cheers. Love
the look. Love the look.
Cheers.
And the pop of color with the tie.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
It's always good to put a little bit of power there.
I love that. It's a beautiful look, Eduardo. I love it. I love the wide lapel. Love the nice peak on it and the nice wide pinstripe. I love that, man.
Cheers.
Good look.
Yeah,
I truly
believe that we've seen a strong presence with plaid suits, check plaid suits, and window panes. I think the next 2 to 3 or 4 seasons, we're going to see a comeback on the pinstripe. So I'm supporting it.
There you go. All right. You're ahead of the curve, right?
Well, we're gonna have to keep that in our mental Rolodex, and we're gonna have to start to help this trend along. You know, we might be some of the pace setters, but you know, in our little realm, to get the pinstripes popping again.
Yeah,
it's not that they've ever left. They've never left.
Yeah, they never left. No, like, exactly.
They never left.
But the new young generation that are buying suits, they are a little bit afraid of pinstripe. A good gentleman would always know that the pinstripe has a place in that wardrobe.
I agree completely. I remember one time I was talking to one of my friends, and his wife was like, "Oh no, he can't wear pinstripes. He'll look like a gangster." And I'm like, "All right, yeah. If they're about 4 or 5 inches apart, and you know, and you have a Tommy gun, then maybe." Yeah, exactly. And you got the spectator, you got spats on, all kinds of stuff. You know, yeah, okay, all right, I get it. But there's nothing gangster about that look, like nothing at all.
No.
And what you said, that 50s kind of feel, for me, I haven't done a lot of studying in the 20s and 30s, but I know the style. But the 50s to me is an era, and I think we should do some podcasts on this, the style throughout the eras.
Mm.
I think the 50s is a style that if you pull from there, you'll always be good.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at some movies, you know, and of course there's some powerful movies related to gangster lifestyle because there was money there. But if you look, the gangster was trying to copy was the guy, the wealthy, because they wanted to look like the wealthy guy. That was, and it's up today. That's how things are. So, but the guy that dresses well has nothing to do with gangsters. That's why people got it wrong, because of the movies, the movie industry. Pinstripes, it demands power. It demands is a certain to a particular look, a particular presence. It demands presence. I don't see it that way, but we are catching up. We are catching up in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Great idea, too, for the podcast, Anton. We'll have to have Eduardo come back on. We'll start maybe with the 20s and move our way up through the decades, and it'll be fun when we get to the 80s.
Please invite me for the 20s or 30s and or 50s. I'll be very happy.
No, we will. For sure, Eduardo. For sure.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you come back on, and I just want to say thank you so much for your time. We know what the time difference, too. It's late there. And so for you to make this accommodation.
We are getting to 1 o'clock, a.m.
1 a.m., right?
Yeah.
Listen, for the people who are listening, you can't see. This guy is sharp as a tack, 1 a.m. It looks like he's just, it looks like it's an afternoon on Sunday. Like, he's showing no ill effects of the time. Eduardo, you know, we really appreciate this. We really do.
Thank you. You know, if you don't feel joy with the things that you do, there's no joy to do it as well. So I don't think that we should always not feel tired to do things that we enjoy, you know, because to me, I think that when I run this kind of business, joy is the one that chases me. And that's what I have to say to people that want to start a business like this.
Can't say it any better than that. Guys, tune in next week. We'll have another guest. And stay tuned to the podcast. Eduardo will definitely be back. Always good catching up with you. And until next time, guys, take care.
Thank you. Cheers.